More than 300 heavily armed UN troops attacked a densely populated neighborhood of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, on July 6, 2005. Multiple sources confirm the peacekeepers killed at least 23 people. Eyewitness reports confirm UN troops used helicopters, tanks, machine guns, and tear gas in the operation. The dead include children, women, and men on their way to work. The massacre took place only days after U.S. Ambassador to Haiti, James Foley, labeled Haitian grassroots activists as terrorists and gang members. Again, on July 13, 2005, UN troops fired into a house in Cité Soleil, killing six more, including three children. The UN force commander, Brazilian Lieutenant General Augusto Heleno, claims there was a firefight, yet there were no UN deaths or injuries. Bay Area schoolteacher Seth Donnelly was in Haiti June 29th through July 10th as part of a labor and human rights delegation. The day after the UN killings, Donnelly shot film and interviewed survivors as well as the UN commander. I recently spoke with Donnelly by telephone about his experience.
Well, I was part of the U.S. labor human rights delegation to Haiti. We were there between June 29th and July 10th. And we were sent by the San Francisco Labor Council to meet with members in the Haitian labor movement, and in particular to participate in the Congress of the Haitian Confederation of Workers, the largest trade union federation in Haiti today, and to gather information about the conditions facing Haitian working people and human rights conditions in general, which we did. We interviewed scores of Haitian workers from different sectors, both in urban workers as well as peasants, and we gained a pretty clear picture of how difficult life is today for Haitian working people. But towards the tail end of our stay there, we received an eyewitness report from a Haitian contact who lives in one of the poorest neighborhoods in Port-au-Prince, a neighborhood called Cité Soleil, that there had been a massacre in Cité Soleil by UN troops. That, you know, Haiti today is occupied by UN troops. And so we followed up on this eyewitness report by going to Cité Soleil the next day. We had to walk into the community. There was no public transportation going into the community that day. And we gathered extensive testimony from people in the community as well as filmed clear damages, evidence of clear damages to the community that indicated that there had been a massacre.
Can you describe some of these things that you witnessed?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things that was, you know, most striking was that people's homes, in many cases shacks with tin roofs, had been riddled with what appears to be machine gun ammunition fire, as well as larger ammunition holes. Many folks in the community who came out, it was men, women, children, people of all ages, folks were reporting to us that the United Nations had surrounded the community with what are called armored personnel carriers, which basically on the street people call tanks, because they essentially are tanks minus the treads, but they're heavy weapon, their vehicles mounted with heavy weaponry, and community testimony stated that these APCs fired into the homes as well, and that would be consistent with the large ammunition holes that we saw. They also said that there was a helicopter flying overhead during the mission and that it had fired down into people's homes, and we also saw ammunition, what appeared to be ammunition holes in roofs. The 300 troops were involved in this operation. It was led by a Jordanian contingent, and they sealed off the exits and entrances into and out of Cité Soleil at approximately 3 a.m. on July 6th. And then the troops, together with the armored personnel carriers, launched the assault. We interviewed the high command of the UN to get the official story. And the official purpose for this operation was to get a quote-unquote gang leader named Dred Wilmay, who appears was in fact killed in the operation. And the UN has basically characterized this operation as a success. The high command also told us that they were unaware of any civilian casualties, that Wilmay, along with a few other quote-unquote bandits, had been killed. Case closed. But when we were there on the ground in the community, not only did we see the homes and the school and the church riddled with ammunition, but we also saw bodies on the scene, including a woman and two small children who had been, according to the surviving husband and father, UN troops lobbed a gas grenade into the home, and then when they tried to flee, his family was killed while he survived. We saw another body where a man had been shot in the head, his jaw blown off. A lot of these folks that were killed were reportedly just ordinary working people, unarmed, who were either trying to go to work when the assault occurred or they were in their homes, and the homes were fired into. So just on the ground, the evidence indicates that there was far more than a few quote-unquote bandits killed, but that this was an assault on the community.
This place, Cité des Soleils, it's sort of a lot of the people in this community are Lavalas supporters and supporters of the ousted president, the elected, democratically elected leader of Haiti, Jean-Bertrand Aristide. Is that maybe a reason why this community was targeted?
The pattern that's occurring in Haiti today since February 29, 2004, when Aristide was forced out, is that people who are suspected of being Aristide supporters, people who are suspected of being part of Lavalas, which is a mass popular grassroots movement that mobilized the population behind Aristide, these people have been subjected, and the evidence is overwhelming. I was in Haiti a year before gathering evidence in the prison system, but these folks have been targeted for extrajudicial killings by police and death squad elements. They've been targeted for imprisonment and torture, as in the case of a well-known priest who just got rearrested today, one of the Haiti's champions of nonviolence and liberation theology, Reverend Jean Juste, is now back. He was arrested for a supposed conspiracy to overthrow the government. There is a major campaign of repression that's been occurring in Haiti. It's one of the untold stories. And what's increasingly happening is that the UN troops are and the UN forces are becoming crucial elements of this repression campaign, that in the months leading up to this massacre, in the year leading up to this massacre, the UN forces were largely complicit, while the Haitian National Police would go into popular neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods, which were the base of support for Aristide, and terrorize the population. But now, as in July 6th, the UN itself has come in and directly implemented the brutality. So it's definitely something that cannot be understood if it's taken as an isolated incident. It has to be placed in the context of the ongoing war against the poor majority in Haiti and the attempt to demobilize them and prevent them from having any political voice.
Can you talk a little bit to just how Haiti has been squeezed off economically from, you know, they're like the poorest nation in the whole Western Hemisphere, isn't that right?
Yeah, it's a desperately poor country with very polarized countries, a very small upper class and a large poor majority. Under Aristide, the U.S. cut off aid that would have literally improved drinking water for the masses of people. The U.S. blocked aid, for basic infrastructure. At the same time that the U.S. AID funds were channeled into fund this sort of right-wing opposition inside of the country to Aristide. Since the overthrow of Aristide, the U.S. has, of course, resumed aid to the unelected anti-democratic interim government of La Tortue, and we see a reverse of U.S. policy. So whereas Aristide was basically blacklisted, the current government, which is unelected, is receiving strong support from the United States. And that, of course, is ultimately the source of so much of the chaos and poverty in Haiti today is anchored in U.S. foreign policy towards Haiti.
We're speaking with Seth Donnelly. He is a Palo Alto school teacher and member of the U.S. Labor Human Rights Delegation, which was in Haiti late June and early July. He shot film at Cité Soleil the day after a massacre by U.N. troops there. And Seth, I'm wondering, aside from street demonstrations and trying to put pressure on U.S. leaders and other world leaders, what do you think more could be done in terms of turning around things there?
Well, I think that a lot of times, you know, in the progressive community, understandably so, people underscore these sort of acts like, you know, writing Congress and, you know, these sort of traditional political action. But I think in this situation, it really does make a difference for people to block out a small amount of time and up the pressure on the UN. So people can contact the High Commission on Human Rights of the UN. We met with them in New York City. They can forward on their correspondence to the High Commission in Geneva, which is the headquarters. They should contact mainstream human rights organizations like Amnesty International and demand that they intervene. And, of course, people should contact their reps in the U.S. government and say that this U.S. foreign policy itself needs to stop supporting the interim government and the abuses that stem from the interim government. But these are all very, very crucial steps. But beyond that, I think people should check out the Haiti Action website and consider going to Haiti as part of ongoing human rights labor delegations. We never would have known about this massacre in the United States if U.S. citizens had not been there to receive the information from Haitian colleagues and comrades. So being in Haiti at this point in time is very important, and if people are interested in that, they should research the issue, check out the website, and get in touch with us.
That was Seth Donnelly, a Palo Alto schoolteacher and member of the U.S. Labor Human Rights Delegation to Haiti, describing the massacre of civilians by UN troops at Cité Soleil. Now we'll hear from Dave Welsh of the San Francisco Labor Council, who also took part in the human rights delegation to Haiti.
We're in touch with Haiti almost every day. For instance, today, Father Jean Just, who is a Catholic priest that has a parish right in Port-au-Prince, he's a very popular priest. And he's a liberation theologian and a supporter of President Aristide. And he's a very courageous man. And he was the one who actually kicked off the demonstrations that we're doing today. On July 13th, he flew back to Miami from Haiti and led a delegation at the Brazilian consulate there. And the following day, on the 14th, there was a demonstration in Cité Soleil, which is the site of the massacre, by 5,000 people, which was tremendous. In spite of the enormous intimidation by the police and the UN, the very morning of the demonstration, which had been called by the Lavalas political party of President Aristide, at 1 in the morning on the 14th, UN troops entered Cité Soleil and began shooting into the houses in the poor neighborhood and shooting at people in an attempt to intimidate them from participating in the demonstration, they and the national police. However, the people were not to be intimidated. They turned out in large numbers and had a spirited demonstration on that day. So we're kind of taking our cue from Father Jean Just and from the people of Cité Soleil, who will not allow their thirst for freedom and independence and a better life for themselves. They will not be deterred from that path by the coup d'etat of last year, which was orchestrated by the United States, France, and Canada, together with the tiny Haitian elite and the paramilitary forces that still remain heavily armed in Haiti. They're not going to be deterred by these people, who represent only a small portion of the people in Haiti. The vast majority, the poor majority in Haiti, want their President Aristide back. They do not want this gangster regime, and they do not want the U.S. and the UN in there shooting at them.
We just heard Dave Welsh, a member of the Labor Human Rights Delegation from the United States, who was in Haiti June 29th through July 10th, attending the Congress of the Confederation of Haitian Workers. The delegation met with hundreds of Haitian workers, farmers, and professionals, interviewing scores of them about the current labor and human rights crisis in Haiti. For more information on that subject, visit www.haitiaction.net. That's www.haitiaction.net. action.net. My name's the V-Man, and you're listening to Rockin' the Boat on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM, or www.freakradio.org. Thanks for listening.